Good evening. It's a phrase that, for me, goes back a long way. And it was usually because it was my mother that would be saying to my brother and I, "What on earth is going on?" Usually indicating something that shouldn't have been, and something not for the good. But I'm sure you don't really think of me like that sort of way, do you? Please, someone shake no, the heads no. there's some of these little guys looking the other way saying, "I really am shaking my head that way." But yes, that's what it was always used in, that way of something's going on that shouldn't be. Something not good. And it's in that sort of a way, really, that I'm putting it tonight. In that I'd like us to pause for a few minutes and think of what is going on in the earth at the present time. Some of the things that are happening. And, well, what are they pointing forward to? What is going to be the outcome of them? We can start with the natural world. with things that have happened just today. You may or may not be aware of it. Just to the east of the capital of Iceland, about 75 miles away, that's all, which I think isn't really that far, if you think where 75 miles from here would take you to. They've had to evacuate 500 or 600 people from the area because of a volcano that's erupted and has caused quite a bit of devastation to the area around and to the glacier that was above it as well. But on this occasion, for this particular incident, I'm glad to be able to say that fortunately no one's been injured, no one's been killed. That can't be said, however, though, can it, of some of the other natural events that have taken place this year. Just think back over the last few months. Chile, the earthquake. Not only the earthquake, but what that earthquake triggered. The tsunami across the Pacific. Prior to that, still within the last few months, again, the earthquake in Haiti. The great devastation that was caused. The lives that were lost. The inability of man to really cope with it. They just couldn't get the relief in, could they? As quickly as it was needed. And people were and still are suffering because of it. This week, there's been various other things in the news. Some of them hardly been noticed because of other events that the media think to be perhaps more important. So perhaps overshadowing some of the things that have been taking place, I suppose the thing that has overshadowed the most of this week, I suppose, really, is actually something which has been a good thing, hasn't it? Sports relief. With the 31.5 million plus that has been raised by, well, that figure came from about 3/4 an hour ago. So plenty of money's been raised. To what effect? We'll come back to it a little bit later. Some of the other things that have happened, well, I suppose we can't really sort of not pass out, ignore completely the one event which has had, again, a beneficial effect for some within the room, although it's been a nuisance as well, and that, of course, is the fact that this week there's been a strike, hasn't there? And so, although somebody should have not been here, we've got someone who is here. And so, yes, that's a benefit not only, well, hopefully to all of us, isn't it? Although, sadly for others in South Africa, perhaps not. But things like that have perhaps hidden the fact that today, in Afghanistan, there have been another 12 people killed, all civilians, with another 2 bombs. 10 by a suicide bomber in Helmand province, and 2 more in a province to the east of Afghanistan coast with a roadside bomb. There has been, this weekend, events within Israel. A rocket attack killed a worker in a kibbutz on Thursday, I think it was. Israel retaliated. And fired into the Gaza Strip. The further rocket was sent, it was launched from the Strip, and then again on Friday night and earlier Saturday morning, Israel again retaliated. There's the ongoing problem that has again affected people here, within this meeting, in different ways. The ongoing problem of the world financial system as it struggles. Iceland became bankrupt. Greece, almost the same. Other European countries, too, are struggling. This country, although, again, the Chancellor has said that there'll be no giveaways in the budget, it's, again, a situation where there is going to be, in the next year or two, a lot of hardship as the countries struggle to correct their financial balances. But then aid is being given, help is being given to countries still that are not as well off. And so we have seen, as I've already said, the events that have taken place that have got the general public to raise funds to enable people less fortunate here and abroad as well to be helped out in one way or another. But the country itself has helped. But most bizarrely, that thing that I discovered was that Britain have given £300 million to India in help, in aid. That's about $500 million. And they are using some of that and to actually fund the building in the capital of Mumbai in, to build public toilets. Because there are people in the slums that don't have any sanitary facilities. That's a good thing. So what's bizarre about it, I'm saying? Whilst we're doing that to help them, the Indian government are planning to spend $1 billion on their space program this year. Whilst the people don't have basic sanitation, they're willing to spend those sort of amounts of money on a space program. 31.5 million has been spent, has been raised by Sports Relief to help. The last time they, at the same to the point, after the main event, whereas now this year they've raised 31.5 million, they've raised about 20 million. So this time, despite the recession, there's 50% more has been raised. But there'll be a next time as well, because what they have raised and what they do won't actually sort things out. The people of Afghanistan who have been killed this weekend, and the soldiers out there that were reported earlier in the week as having died, have not and will not actually sort out the problem that there is. The people who sent the aid to Haiti and to Chile will not actually sort out the full, proper, real problem. The firing of the helicopter ships, gunships, as into the Gaza Strip will not stop those who live there from firing rockets into Israel. The agreement of the Prime Minister of Israel to restart the peace talks will not actually see peace in the area. Not a true peace. Whatever man does, it won't work out to the good. As much as they try, they won't actually succeed in making things better. Paul, in those words that we read to Timothy, said at the beginning of that chapter 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And as we look around the world and see the things that are happening, we see that those words of Paul are very true. Men are lovers of themselves. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And for some, yes, you see that they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They are, as verse 7 puts it, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They are always wanting to know of something new. And that doesn't change, does it? Because Paul came across that himself, didn't he? They're wanting to learn of something new. But then, when the opportunity was given to learn not just of something new, but of something which actually would change their lives and change them for the good, they said, we'll hear you again. We'll hear you again on the matter. They were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we have to be careful that we don't do the same, don't follow that same line of living. Now, Jesus spoke a parable, spoke many, didn't he? But in one, it's in Luke chapter 12. It's in today's reading, verse 16. Jesus spake a parable, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" He was someone that certainly was a lover of himself, who was one that loved the pleasures of being able to sit back and not worry, eat, drink, be merry, take my ease, have a good life. You read through, you sort of look at those verses, you'll see it's all to do with himself. Thought within himself, What shall I do? Because I've got this, I've got that. I'll do this, I'll do that. And Jesus says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The warning is there, and I've just selected the one quotation, but it's there, isn't it, for here and throughout the rest of the scripture, that it's not I, it shouldn't be I that is the center of things. We should rather concentrate and focus on God. Henry said this morning something very similar that was a lesson way back at the time of Israel in the wilderness. How they got up of the morning and looked out of their tent, and what did they see? There was the white wall of the tabernacle. And they were focused on that, and the meaning of what was there and what was going on. At least they should have been. Sadly, some weren't. Some did other things. They wanted to do it their way. And so you get reference in that chapter that we read, verse 8 of 2 Timothy 3. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. What does Paul say of them? They will proceed no further. That's it. That's as far as they'll get. However, he continues, but, verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, not I survived, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, Paul was able to say, forget about, don't be like Jannes and Jambres, don't be like those men that I'm warning you about in those other earlier verses. Don't stand against Moses, don't stand against God. But follow him and let him deliver you. Let him be the one who would take you and lead you forward. Continue, verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yes. Don't try and fix things the way the world tries, because that won't happen. It won't work. Men are lovers of their own self. They'll do it for their own good. They'll see what they can get out of it. Do it instead, because your focus is on the Lord. Your focus is on God, on the salvation that is offered to you in the words of the scripture. Because the time will come when the earth will be, as we know it will be, done away. And instead, the day of the Lord will come. This time, not Paul, but Peter, in his second epistle in chapter 3. It's one that he says he's written to it so that it could stir them up, and stir up their minds, and put them in remembrance, so that they remember what's happened and what they've done, and where they've come from and where they're going to. Verse 9, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Yes, Peter says, the day of the Lord will come, and it'll come as a thief in the night. Which of you know that the thief is coming into your house tonight? Silly question, really, isn't it? We don't, do we? The time when the Lord will come, we don't know. We know, because God has said, we know that it will happen. We know that because God has promised, we know that Jesus will return. Because it's here in the Bible in front of us, we know that the kingdom will be set up. Because it's here in the Bible in front of us, we know that at that time, although he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that there will be a time of judgment. So then, if that's the case, as he says, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, seeing then that what he said will happen, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? What should we be like? Well, again, it's Peter that tells us, but not here in his letter, it was what he said in Acts. Acts chapter 2. When they heard what Peter had been telling them then, he said, they were pricked in their heart, it says in verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" No reply. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." So, what did they do? Peter told them what they needed. First of all, he says, the first thing you've got to do is repent. Change direction. Turn you back on all that you were doing. And refocus. Not on I, but on the Lord Jesus. And having done that, do what he asks, and so be baptized. But that's not all. That's not all, because those, verse 41, those that were glad, that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking in bread and in prayers. It's not just a one-off thing, hey, I've done that, okay, I'm all right. It's a first step. It's a first step in something which has to be there in the rest of your life. That constant steadfastness. Staying well and truly being there. Staying put within the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Staying completely within that area so that the things of this life, the things that people want you to do, you have to turn around and say, sorry, it's not for me. I'm not interested in the quick reward, the feel-good factor now. I've got far more important, far more long-term view, a long-term goal that is not just now, it's not just for me, but instead is for all those who God has promised to, that if they, or if we rephrase that to, if you, and in you I also include me, if you continue in that one way of pleasing him and of following after Jesus, and then when there really is something going on in the earth that is of importance, that is of great matter, then we pray that you will actually be there and involved within it, not as one that is being kept out, but one that is being welcomed in. Because the only real solution to the problems of today is the return of Jesus and the setting up of the kingdom of God. And as we say, the choice is there. We too, if we do as he asks, we too can be part of that. But if not, the alternative is that we go the way of all mankind and be rejected.